Good day. It is Wednesday, December 15th, 2021. And I'm back for more. I took a much needed hiatus. It was unplanned. But I'm back and I'm making time to do this. This rant today, this episode, is going to be for the men. All the men out there. It's much needed. And it's going to be a hodgepodge. It's going to be a smattering. But it's going to be a bunch of things that I've learned. The last year of my life has been absolutely chaotic. Absolutely confused. And if you're a dude out there and you're struggling, let's say you're married, you're struggling, find my email and reach out. Pretty sure if you're listening to this podcast, then you can find my email somewhere and reach out. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a very quiet epidemic, or a very quiet pandemic that's actually harmful, that a lot of people aren't aware of, and a lot of men are waking up to, realizing a myriad of things. So where do I start? Well, I recently read a few books within the last year, and I'll just throw it out there. Where you're going to be in 5 years is based on who you hang out with, the five people you hang out with the most, and the books you read. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're hanging out with losers and you're not reading a book, you're going to be a loser. If that seems harsh, I'm thinking of young males who might listen to this. If that seems harsh, it is. If that seems unfair, it is. If that seems cruel, it is. There's a very unfortunate truth. There's a very unfortunate reality to the reality we live in, to the matrix that we're plugged into. And Darwin tried to describe it as the survival of the fittest. And I like that idea. I don't think it applies 100% in nature with animals, because if a whale eats a school of fish, some of them just get lucky and escape. So it's not the fittest that survive all the time. But in the human world, we were warned about this by the Apostle Paul, I believe. He said, to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Survival of the fittest is a thing. Jordan Peterson talks about hierarchies and being involved in a hierarchy where you're competent, where you're going to be rewarded based on your merits. And if you're a young man out there, let's say a teenager, 18, 19, maybe even younger, and you're looking ahead at your life like you should be, like your parents should be telling you to be, then this is going to help you immensely if you take it to heart. I did a podcast in the series or whatever previously called This Is What You're Looking For, because I was learning it at that time too. And a lot of the things that I've talked about, I keep relearning. They keep resounding. They keep being reproven. And like one of my old pastors said, wow, I really learned that lesson again. And that's what life is. But where am I going with this? Hierarchies, marriage, children, jobs, career, meaning. Some unfortunate truths. Survival of the fittest. I'm going to try to get a little more cogent here and just start talking where I feel led. for the men out there. You need to be striving. You need to be chasing excellence. You need to be aiming, like Pinocchio's dad, Geppetto, or whatever his name is, wishing upon a star. Jordan Peterson hearkens to that too. You need to be aiming upward. There's a God. I believe in God. There's a God, but if you're not convinced on that, there's a higher ideal in your mind. If I ask you to describe a hero, you know, the general idea of a hero, it's called an archetype, which is pretty similar across most cultures. What would that be to you? Find out what that would be to you, and you need to emulate that. Because as you move forward in life and you start participating in normal, natural things like a relationship, marriage, children, and a job, and you start acquiring some responsibilities, then you're going to want to listen up, because I'm going to tell you how it works. And you might be surprised, but this is how it is. And I'm going to tell you that it sucks if you're not prepared, if you don't know what you're signing up for. If you're a man and you're not aiming up, then your marriage, even if you're not married yet, then your marriage is going to fail. 50% of marriages fail. 85 or 89% of them are initiated by women, the women. And they initiate it when they have something better to go to. They'll either have somebody in equal economic status ready to take them in, or someone higher. And how this typically plays out is your woman will start telling you stuff like, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I don't feel safe with you. And then she'll also start to give you a bunch of bullcrap excuses. She'll start to sling a bunch of mud. She'll try to tear your castle down. And that's a wake-up call for you to refortify, re-solidify your foundation, and nut up. I'm a Christian, and I'm telling you to nut up. A rabbit trail here is I read the book Hold On To Your Nuts, N-U-T-S, N.U.T.S. And it's an acronym for non-negotiable, unalterable terms. As a man, before you get mixed up with a woman, another human being, who is another human, who can make mistakes, who can be bitchy, who can have bad days, who can not have your best interests in mind sometimes, who isn't a god, who is another human being that can fail herself, fail you, fail children, fail other people, fail at her job. Before you get roped up or shacked up with another individual, you gotta have your nuts in order. There's a concept called death by a thousand cuts. And if you're married for a decade, and every issue that comes up, every wave in the water, in the ocean of your life, if it capsizes you, you let it capsize you, you're going to look like you're shipwrecked. And the woman you're with isn't going to respect you. She'll slowly lose respect for you. See, the New Testament, or the Renewed Covenant, as I like to call it, commands women to respect their husbands, and it commands men to love their wives with understanding. So here's a piece of understanding. Feminine nature, by nature, females by nature, is a chaotic and destructive force. Don't quote me on this, but I believe, and I'll have to verify this, in the first book of the Bible, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering above the waters, etc., etc. But that second verse, and the earth became without form and void, it's two Hebrew words, tohu and bohu, chaos and confusion. Now, to my knowledge, those are two feminine words. So, in ancient Middle Eastern cosmology, anything chaotic was feminine. Anything confusing was feminine. So, coupling this with the yin and yang, and I probably won't go into that, the white and the black, there's the reality that femininity is chaotic. And if you've been in a relationship with a woman, you know this. You know that women can lose their poop, and they can fly off the handle, and they can throw daggers and darts and knives and swords at everybody and anybody. And if you've never experienced this, you have a heads up. Consider yourself warned, but know what's going on. What's happening is your frame, your masculine frame, your masculinity, your foundation is being tested. It's being tested for its strength. That woman wants to know that if you can withstand that kind of storm that she creates, if you can withstand it, hold fast during it, be a lighthouse in that storm, immovable, unshakable, calm, quiet, stoic, soft-spoken, gentle, unable to be aroused in anger, unable to be moved emotionally, then there won't be a need for her to do that too often. But from my understanding is it doesn't ever go away. And that's just something that you're going to have to deal with. I'm sure there's various types of women, and it's, you know, more or less, it varies from woman to woman. But the archetype here is, you know, when a queen sees her king, you know, talking about war or gearing up for war, or she, you know, senses a threat. And that's the thing, is female emotion is like a giant radar system. We should consider ourselves blessed, because evolutionarily, which I don't believe in, but the theory fits, so I'm just going to entertain it for the masses. Evolutionarily, or just even anciently, women, and I more so believe that it's epigenetic, you know, women, going all the way back to the start of human history in the Middle East, the Sumerian tribes, all that, were very vulnerable. They're not as physically strong. They can get pregnant and be even more vulnerable to being kidnapped, being raped, being taken advantage of. And then if they're feeding a child, women are always vulnerable, always. They're the weaker of the two genders, and they're in a state, they're typically in a state where they're either bearing or going to bear a child or feeding one. And then if they're not breastfeeding, they're still responsible for feeding a child. So by nature and by reality, by their reality, they are always vulnerable. So as a species or as a creature, these unbelievably gorgeous beings are always vulnerable in this chaotic evil world around us. So for whatever reason, when these gorgeous beautiful creatures are like spazzing out, freaking out, going off the handle, even at you, the person that's feeding them, the person that's keeping them safe, everything, here's how you need to think of it, and this is good for me to hear too. Here's what you need to think of it like. There's alarms going off in your kingdom. There's alarms going off. There's sirens going off. Men, you know, your foot soldiers in your house, in your kingdom, are sounding the alarm. So look past and don't take anything personally that's being said, but just listen. Listen. Because if you were a man, you know, anciently, and you had a kingdom, you had a tribe, you were the leader, or whatever. Now we just have mini kingdoms, mini monarchies, mini tribes. Mini, M-I-N-I, not many, M-A-N-Y. Mini ones, tiny ones. You're going to want to know if those things come under threat. And if I remember, I will couple this information with some of the harsh realities in the book of Proverbs. So if your woman is doing this, be thankful for it, number one, even though it's going to piss you off and you think it's ridiculous. But be thankful for it. Listen. Validate those things. Don't provide solutions. Just listen and validate. And that storm will pass. But go into that storm. A great story is that when there's a storm coming, cows will try to run away from it. And they can't run away fast enough. So that storm, that storm actually ends up catching up to them. And they keep trying to walk away from it. Then they actually end up being in the storm longer. Buffalo go towards the storm. They go towards the eye of the storm. And I'm learning this more and more. This is absolutely necessary. When there's an issue, you go into it willingly, head on. And I am still learning this. There's no right or wrong way to do it. You just got to go. You just got to go. You got to pipe up. And you got to just do it. Whatever it is. Go confront that thing. Willingly. Avoid it all you want at your own peril. Eventually that dragon won't be a baby anymore. And it'll consume you with fire and knock you down. Go into that storm willingly. With your shoulders back and your chest out. See what happens. It won't kill you. You'll probably suck at it, but those stripes that you come out with on the other side will be the stripes worthy of respect from other people. And this is where you start. This is where you start. This is what I'm trying to teach my children. This is how I'm mentoring other men that I work with who are young, who don't know how to handle conflict. But that's what's going on. There's a potential threat in your kingdom. And your system's alarms are going off. Your queen is your system's alarms. And you need to be thankful for that. Because that's how she was wired by the Creator to be. That is how she was wired. And to couple this information with stuff in Proverbs. I've mentioned it before in my podcasts. That I read Proverbs as a young man. There's 31 chapters, so I'd read a chapter a day. I did it on and off. there's all these warnings about the wise and the foolish and the contentious woman and etc. And I always thought, man, it sure is harsh of God to ever call somebody foolish if he's using Solomon to do it. But it's the reality of where we live. There's foolish people out there. There's evil people out there. There's people who will take advantage of you. You need to realize this. You can't be naive and think that you can just float from lily pad to lily pad in life like the game Frogger. There's not always going to be an opening in traffic for you to hop. You're going to have to bend and break some rules. Not the law, but rules. You're going to have to see holes and cracks in the system. In the matrix, you're gonna have to hack in, go in for a while, and come out. And if this isn't who you are inside, because it's not who I am inside, this is not who I am inside. I'm not, by nature, a confrontational person that's willing to fight. I'm a very passive person that can look at a situation. I don't have a huge ego, and I have a personal pride that I can reject someone's BS and someone's bullcrap when I sense it immediately and not have anything to do with it. My problem is that when there's a confrontation and a fight that's necessary, I need to put my gear on, my warrior gear, and nut up and go do it. I used to think I was too far gone to be able to handle some of these things, but I'm not. I just needed to learn. I wished I would have gotten a little bit of grace and a little bit of hoorah. I wish there were some men around to do that for me, but there wasn't. But I didn't give up. I almost did. I almost gave up in the most permanent way. But I didn't. I'm here, and now I'm sharing this message with people because it's the only thing I know how to do. Because I don't want other young men to ever have to be in a situation that I was in. So if this isn't who you are as a person, deep down at your core, think of this. When you are a single cell swimming towards the egg inside your mother, survival of the fittest, destiny, divine ordination, you made it. You made it out of the, what is it, 450,000 others. You won. So your life isn't meaningless ever. You made it out. And if you made it out, that means your mother didn't kill you in your womb. So you made it out. You passed another threat. You passed through another possible life-ending scenario. You made it out. So you need to realize that there was something special about you from the get-go. Something divine. Something that chose you, whether it was evolution, whether it was divine providence. Believe whatever you want. But you made it out. Now, what you need to do is look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you going to make it out of this next birth pain alive? Are you going to make it out alive? And you are. Because you're looking for information like this. You're wondering, why does everything seem like a cosmic joke? Why is everything so difficult? Why is life tainted with malevolence, as Jordan Peterson likes to say? Why does it seem like if you're a man and you're married, why does it seem like I'm not loved unconditionally? I'm only loved under the conditions that I'm competent. I'm only loved under the conditions that I act and behave in a certain way. Well, just like Solomon warned us about contentious women, and Solomon warned us about the wise and the foolish, it's the way it is. It's just the way it is. If you could write this computer program in a different way, you probably would. But it's binary. We live in a binary computer program. It's a binary system. It's good versus evil. That's the way God set it up. That's the game He wants us to play. It's chess, white versus black. And you got to make sure you're playing the right game. Because there's counterfeits out there. There's counterfeit chess games that won't get you anywhere. And then there's the real one. The real one is you're a pawn or a bishop or a knight or a king or a queen on the white side, God's side. Or you're a helpless pawn on Satan's side. And Satan doesn't care if his pawns die. He'll sacrifice his pawns. God doesn't sacrifice his pawns. I'm going to hearken back to Hold On To Your Nuts, the book I read. If you're a young man, you need to find at least three things that are important to you, are unique to you, that no one can ever take away from you. No one. For me, I have one for sure. And you got to develop these as you go. If you're on the brink of divorce, or if you're going to get a divorce, or if you're going through really rough times, take a breath. Maybe drink a beer, slam a beer, take a breath, and just tell yourself you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. But what was I just saying? I was talking about this is the game we're playing. Man. What a great episode. I was on a roll. Oh, hearkening back to Hold On To Your Nuts. You need to have at least three non-negotiables. And I was about to tell what one of mine are. Well, one of mine is I'm always going to be treated that I'm a team player, whether in my marriage or at work. If there's a problem, if there's a situation that's bad and it needs to be taken care of, if you expect me to take care of it, you're going to treat me like I'm on your team. You are not going to shame, blame, and complain, lay all that garbage, that bullcrap on me, and then expect me to fix it. That's not a team. That's not respect. And I won't be treated like that. I recently had to draw that boundary and that line. It was a couple months back at work. And boy, was it helpful. To get respect, you need to command respect. If you don't want to be treated a certain way, that throws you off, that shakes you at your foundation, that causes you to fumble and bumble and make mistakes, then you need to tell. You need to verbally communicate that, whether you do it in private or whether you call somebody out for their bullcrap with other people around. Ignore that one at your own peril, but here's what I believe is you'll do it at the best possible time when it needs to be done. It'll just come to a point that moment in time and in history will just happen. That's one of mine. And another unalterable thing for me is going to the gym. That's two of mine. And I'm in the situation where I need to fight for that one back. So when you have a non-negotiable, it's non-negotiable. And I also like to read my Bible and journal in the mornings. So that means if I have to be to work at 7 and I have a 20-minute drive to work, I'm up at 5 or 5:30 to spend that time. So that's kind of a smattering of things. You are in a competence hierarchy. You already won a few wars and battles. You already have something under your belt that you didn't even really know you did. You already won a few things. You have value. You made it. You made it out. You don't want to treat people in a negative way. Unless you're a sociopath. If you're a sociopath, I don't know why you're listening to this. But you need to be aiming, like Geppetto, something higher, a higher order principle, a very deep, basic, foundational moral code. You need to find it, whatever it is for you. I don't care if it's Islam. I don't. But it's got to be something that resonates with you at your deepest core. And you can pray for it and ask for it. You need to ask for it. In 2008, I prayed to God that he would show me how he wants to be worshipped. And within weeks, I bumped into somebody, had a series of events go down that basically showed me that everything I believed was false. And then I acted on it. And my life hasn't been the same since. You need to ask for it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. If you're persistent and you don't quit and you don't stop, it will happen. The story of Jacob in the Bible, he wrestled with God and then God changed his name to Israel. He wrestled with God all night. All night. Where the angel of the Lord or whoever it was, I believe it was the Messiah. It was the being that later became Jesus Christ. If you are willing to wrestle and not quit, and show yourself that amongst all your failures, amongst all your stripes, amongst everything that you've done in your life that hasn't gone right, feeling the lowest of low, if you will just not quit, you will show yourself approved. You will show yourself that you're worth it. You're worth the information. You're worth helping. You know, God will show you that you're worth helping. And that's what it is at the baseline, is if you won't quit. So at the very base of everything, just do not give up, ever. It's not going to go well. It's going to look like hell. It's going to be hell. It's going to suck. But if you don't stop and you don't give up, if you're not the first to quit, you're going to be the first through that line, that finish line. And you already have a few of those under your belt. So keep fighting, my friends.